Lord, quiet our hearts now. Calm our spirits, make us receptive to you. We do want you to speak to us now, so do open your word to us and do open our hearts to you. In your name we pray, amen. So let me tell you a story, and we will get to our scripture, and when we get to our scripture, we're going to look at a number of them. I'll try to give you warning ahead of time, but some of them will come pretty quickly. But let me tell you a story first. When I was in seventh grade, a number of us kids from Nakusa, where I grew up, we went on a field trip to Chicago. At the time, the biggest city I had ever visited previous to Chicago was Wisconsin Rapids, a town of 18,000. So when we got to Chicago, imagine my pleasure when I saw skyscrapers. They were so cool. So I stood across the street and looked at them, and you know, they're very tall. And that wasn't cool enough, so I had to go across the street, stand right next to the skyscraper, and look straight up. They're very tall. Well, this was just too much for this country boy. I had to see how tall they really were, because I wanted a ground view, so I laid on the ground next to the skyscraper and looked up. They're very, very tall. They're really something when you think about it. All the technology that goes into a skyscraper, and I can just imagine the blueprints that went into it, all the wiring that goes into it, the ductwork. They're really something. And when I actually even now still see a skyscraper, I still am kind of left in awe. They're really something. So let me ask you, when was the last time you were lost in wonder about something? And then more importantly, when was the last time you were lost in wonder in regards to God? That we should be lost in wonder in respect to God is everywhere self-evident. First set of verses, Isaiah 9:6. And like I said, we'll go through these pretty quickly. So if you want to just listen, that's okay too. Our Lord himself is wonderful. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's no one else like God. I often think of how big our universe is. And now they think we can see, I forget, like 20 billion light years or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But however far we can see, there's so much more that we can't see. And then think about this for a moment. Does space go forever? That's big. And if it doesn't go forever, where does it stop and what's beyond where it doesn't go anymore? I get confused just thinking about it. And yet, God is everywhere. He's bigger than that. And he even stands outside of the universe. Our God is wonderful. Awesome. Psalm 9:1. Not just he is a person, but the things that he does are wonderful. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. We can just think of some of the things in the Bible that he has done. Creation, parting of the Red Sea, parting of the Jordan, and the miracles of the New Testament, the raising of Christ himself. Wonderful. And in your own life, if you think about it, probably doesn't take a lot of effort. Even in the last week, you can probably think of all kinds of ways God has provided for you, protected you, watched over you, and so on. His ways are wonderful. His ways are wonderful. Psalm 119:129. Not only that, but his word is wonderful. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. Isn't God's word wonderful? Aren't we blessed? How many times in your own life have you been going through a situation and then you come to the word and just exactly what you needed to hear? Yeah. You turn to that verse, there it is. You weren't looking for that verse, but it just jumps off the page. And you know God has spoken to you. And the precepts, the stories that are in the Bible, first rate. Isn't His Word wonderful? And of course, it leads to life. Wonderful. And then the way He relates to us, Psalm 139, 1 through 6, the way He relates to us is wonderful. The way He knows us, the way He cares for us. Oh Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You know me inside out. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. You know my deepest thoughts, my deepest feelings, so on and so forth. You hem me in behind and before and lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. The way the Lord knows me and the way the Lord relates to me is so wonderful that I can't wrap my head around it. It blows my mind when I think about it. It is so cool. And so if every once in a while we're not lost in wonder when it comes to God, we don't get it. Indeed, lately I've been reflecting on just how wonderful a human body is. Think of how we began as a single cell. How in the world, humanly speaking, does that one cell know how to split, and then at some point, this part becomes skin, this part becomes bone, this part becomes a heart. How does it know, one single cell, how does it know to do all that? And how does it know, you know, like, to grow hair on my head instead of hair inside my head? How does it know to put ribs around my lungs instead of a leg bone around my lungs? How does it know to do that? A single cell. If you were really into computers and you wanted to write the coding for that, good luck. Good luck. I don't think mankind can ever do that, has that kind of capacity. It's like the psalmist said in 139:14. I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. One cell, one single cell. And out pops this. Isn't that amazing? God is, I think, positively cool. And of course, we haven't even talked about redemption yet. So I like stories, so let me tell you another story. My friend Dave and I were in an electricity class in high school. And the last thing we had to do was build, and I quote, a self-starting three-pole motor from a kit. And it sounded good on paper, but the kits were all junk. So everyone in the class, as we're trying to assemble our motor and have it self-start when you hook it up to the battery and then run, everybody was having trouble. It was a piece of junk. We all grew increasingly frustrated, and my friend Dave sometimes had a little bit of a temper. So in his frustration, in his anger, he took that kit and whipped it as hard as he could against the brick wall. Well, I gotta tell you, that was like a good idea, so I did the same thing. I whipped mine against the wall. It was junk. There's more to the story. He picked his up, hooked up to a battery, and it started running. Amazing. Mine, I had to throw it against the wall twice before it finally started working. But the point is this. What do we do with junk? We throw it away. Things that don't work the way they're supposed to, we throw it away. I was a supervisor in 3M for 5 years, and when we had product that wasn't up to our standards, into the dumpster. We're junk. We don't work the way we're supposed to. We're broken. We're not up to standard. And yet, God doesn't throw us away. He dies for us. When's the last time you thought about dying for your junk? He died for us. He adopted us. Mm-hmm. Made us his children. Even now he's preparing a place for us so that we might be with him forever. Doesn't it blow your mind? It does mine. When Manoah, the father of Samson, was visited by an angel of the Lord, he asked the angel what the angel's name was. And this is Judges 13:18. And the angel replied, "Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?" If an angel's name is so wonderful that the angel wouldn't share it, how wonderful is our Lord? The one who died for us, the one who died for junk, the one who adopts us and makes us his own. Isn't our God wonderful?
Amen.
And now, back to the text we read. Some people don't always think so, do they? When Moses was shepherding his father-in-law Jethro's sheep, he caught sight of the burning bush, as we read. And then he said in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3, "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burning." I wonder what some of us might have done in his position. The rational among us, I suppose, would have explained it away. That bush that's burning and not being consumed. It's like a candle, the resin's coming out from the wood and the resin's burning, but the tree is not burning. We would explain it away. Ho-hum, no big deal. The Pharisees among us would have tried to extinguish it. We don't burn bushes in our church. It's not the way we do things. We've never burned bushes in our church, and we never will. The lazy among us would have remarked how cool the bush is, and then walked away and never climbed the mountain. Let's not get carried away, right? Many of us would have planned on visiting the burning bush when we could finally fit it into our schedule. And then the years would go by and we'd die having never seen the burning bush. In other words, many of us would not turn aside. And it doesn't help that we live in a society where the spectacular has become commonplace. For those of you who are older, and if you were into Star Wars, remember when the first Star Wars movie came out in 1977? What did everyone say? The special effects are spectacular. And they were in 1977. I watch the movie now and I think, cheesy. They're kind of cheesy, the special effects. We're always trying to do better and greater and cooler. Or how about the products we buy? Suppose you want to buy a bottle of shampoo. Let's just arbitrarily pick Head & Shoulders. Used to be you'd go to the store and there was Head & Shoulders and you picked it up and you bought it. And then somewhere in the 70s, 80s, 90s, we went from just Head & Shoulders to you could have Head & Shoulders or the new and improved version of Head & Shoulders. Now you go to the store, you can buy Head & Shoulders for dry hair, for oily hair, for hair that itches. You can buy it that smells like an apple, ocean breeze, on and on. We're always constantly in our society trying to make things better, to one-up whatever we've done before. And so I think in our day and age, in our society, many people, if they saw the burning bush, they'd go, "Great special effects, but I'm not impressed." And again, would walk away. In order to get a feel for how tall the skyscrapers were, I had to walk across the street. I had to stand next to them like a tourist. My mouth was probably open and eyes all agog. And I had to lay on the ground. And I'm sure the locals thought, what kind of idiot just came to town? And where's the next train out? Let's put him on it. I turned aside. Other people in my class, they saw the skyscrapers from the opposite side of the street just like I did, and they thought they were tall and they were probably awed too, but not awed enough where they had to cross the street and stand next to it. And even my best friend would not lay on the ground with me when we looked at how tall they were from the ground. It wouldn't hurt us, would it, if every once in a while we turned aside? Like Moses when he saw the burning bush. When you are reminded of your salvation, turn aside and marvel that God Almighty would die for us. How can that be? How can that be? When you are reminded of heaven, turn aside and marvel that you and I will get to see God face to face. How can that be? And what a sight that will be. When you are reminded that you have a great family and or great friends, whatever the case might be, turn aside and thank God for this wonderful gift that none of us deserve. Turn aside. Turn aside and wonder. Turn aside. For the hayseed I was, first time I saw a skyscraper, it was awesome. And other people are awed by other things. I knew a person from Chicago. When he left Chicago, he lived in Chicago his whole life and never left town. And when he left town and saw cows standing out in fields, he was like, this is so cool. When I like football. When I see a receiver make that one-handed catch after he's been hit, and he makes that one-handed catch, and he starts to fall, he gets both feet in bounds, especially if it's a Packer, and he gets both feet in bound, it's marvelous. It's beautiful. And as many sunsets and waterfalls as I have seen, I am still always awed by them. What awes you? What causes you to be lost in wonder? God ought to awe you. So once again, lose yourself in wonder. God, the Creator, loves you and died for you and has adopted you as his children. Wow. Wow. And we will live with him forever in paradise. Amen. Amazing. Lord, you are so marvelous. You are so wonderful. Words cannot describe how good you are, how great you are, how marvelous you are. We could spend the rest of our life just praising you, and we would just scratch the surface. Who is like you? And why would you love us and choose to die for us? I would never die for my junk. How you love us. How you cherish us. And when you adopt us, Lord, you adopt us in every sense of the word. We become your children. You watch over us. You protect us fiercely. You guide us. You teach us. You help us to become the man and women we were meant to be. You help us to become the person that we are supposed to be in respect to our Lord. And we are made joint heirs with Christ. Amazing. Simply amazing. All we can say, Lord, is thanks. All we can say is thanks. Lord, you blow our minds, and we love you so much. As you have blessed us, may we bless you. In your name, amen.